This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of thoracolumbar fracture dislocation from the spine section on orthobullets.com. Let's start this episode with a quick summary. Thoracolumbar fracture dislocations are rare fractures associated with a posterior facet dislocation occurring at the thoracolumbar junction. Diagnosis is made with radiographs of the thoracolumbar spine. A CT scan is useful for fracture characterization and surgical planning. Treatment is usually posterior open reduction with instrumented fusion. Now, let's get into the episode. Starting with epidemiology, as far as incidence, approximately 4% of spinal cord injuries are admitted to level 1 trauma centers. 50 to 60% of fracture dislocations are associated with spinal cord injuries. In terms of demographics, thoracolumbar fracture dislocations have a 4-to-1 male-to-female ratio. With respect to anatomic location, these injuries most commonly occur at the thoracolumbar junction. Risk factors include certain high-energy injuries, like motor vehicle accidents, which are the most common, falls, sports, and violence. Moving on to etiology, in terms of pathophysiology, the mechanism of injury of thoracolumbar fracture dislocations are acceleration/deceleration injuries resulting in hyperflexion, rotation, and shearing of the spinal column. Associated injuries include neurologic deficits, head injury, and concomitant injuries in the thorax and abdomen. In terms of classification systems of thoracolumbar fracture dislocations, the one to know is the thoracolumbar injury classification system, or the TLIC score, and this characterizes injuries based on morphology of injury, neurologic injury, and posterior ligamentous complex integrity. Treatment recommendations are based on the total score. So non-surgical treatment is recommended for a score of 3 or lower, indeterminate treatment is designated for a score of 4, and surgical treatment is recommended for a score of 5 or higher. Now, let's go over some relevant anatomy, specifically regarding the thoracolumbar junction. So this is defined as T10 to L2, and is also the transition zone between the thoracic spine, which is in kyphosis, and the lumbar spine, which is in lordosis. In terms of pathoanatomy of thoracolumbar fracture dislocations, remember that there's greater mobility in the lumbar spine compared to the thoracic spine, and this results in an area of the spine that is vulnerable to shearing forces. Remember that there is a high risk of injury to the spinal cord, conus, or cauda equina depending on the patient's anatomy and degree of dislocation. As far as presentation of thoracolumbar fracture dislocations, pre-hospital, patients almost exclusively present as a major trauma with or without neurological deficit. Transportation to a trauma center should utilize spine immobilization precautions with a spinal board and cervical collar. The clinical approach should include advanced trauma life support, or ATLS, and remember the ABCs, airway, breathing, and circulation. Evaluation should also include neurological assessment, history, and physical examination. So in terms of neurological assessment, inspection may reveal an open injury or deformity, for example, kyphosis. Palpation may reveal point tenderness, step-off deformities, and or crepitus. Neurological impairment can be measured with the Glasgow Coma Scale, or GCS, the ASIA impairment score, sensory, motor, or reflex impairment, and rectal examination. Moving on to imaging, recommended views on radiographs include an AP and lateral view of the thoracolumbar spine. This is indicated whenever there is suspected spinal column injury with bony tenderness, and you should also recognize stable versus unstable spine injuries. Findings on radiographs may include the fracture type, pattern, and dislocation. A CT scan is indicated to better visualize the fracture pattern and type compared to plain radiographs, for example, unilateral facet dislocations, etc. Other indications include blunt trauma patients who require a CT scan to screen for other injuries. As far as findings, keep in mind that you cannot adequately visualize and describe the spinal canal and other associated ligaments with a CT scan. An MRI is indicated for better visualization of the spinal cord and supporting ligamentous structures. It's also indicated when the level of neurological deficit does not align with the apparent level of spinal injury. As far as findings on MRI, remember that it's important to evaluate for injury to the posterior longitudinal ligament. Moving on to treatment of thoracolumbar fracture dislocation, this is always operative and involves posterior open reduction with instrumented fusion. This is indicated for most patients with thoracolumbar fracture dislocations, unstable fracture patterns, and disrupted supporting ligamentous structures. The technique will involve a midline incision, then you will identify the fracture dislocation site, you will use pedicle screws for distraction to obtain anatomical reduction, and then insert posterior instrumentation 2 levels above and 2 levels below the site of injury. In terms of outcomes, early decompression and instrumentation has been shown to have better outcomes than delayed surgery or non-operative treatment. Be sure to obtain postoperative CT MRI to see if there is any residual anterior compression. Now let's end this review session talking about complications of thoracolumbar fracture dislocations. And the ones to know include neurological injury, Cauda equina syndrome, DVT, non-union after spinal fusion, post-traumatic pain, and deformity. Keep in mind that post-traumatic pain is the most common complication and is greater with increased kyphotic deformity. Speaking of deformities, the other deformity complications after a thoracolumbar fracture dislocation include scoliosis, progressive kyphosis, which is common with an unrecognized injury to the posterior longitudinal ligament, flat back syndrome, which can lead to pain, a forward flexed posture, and easy fatigue, and finally, post-traumatic syringomyelia. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic might be tested. First question. A 21-year-old male sustained a T12 burst fracture after a motor vehicle accident. His neurological examination reveals an incomplete spinal cord injury. Magnetic resonance imaging shows the posterior ligament complex is intact. What would be the thoracolumbar injury classification system or TLIX score and recommended treatment? And the choices are 1, TLIX score of 4, and the recommended treatment is bed rest immobilization. 2, the TLIX score is 5, and the recommended treatment is external thoracolumbar orthosis. 3, the TLIX score is 5, and the recommended treatment is posterior decompression and arthrodesis. 4, the TLIX score is 4, and the recommended treatment is posterior decompression and arthrodesis. And 5, the TLIX score is 6, and the recommended treatment is combined anterior and posterior decompression and arthrodesis. The correct answer to this question is 3, TLIX score of 5, and the recommended treatment is posterior decompression and arthrodesis. So this patient's thoracolumbar injury classification system, or TLIX score, adds up to 5, as the morphology is a burst fracture, which corresponds to 2 points, there is spinal cord injury, which corresponds to 3 points, and the posterior ligamentous complex is intact, which gives a score of 0, so this adds up to a score of 5. The most appropriate treatment would be surgical, for example, posterior decompression and arthrodesis. All the other choices are incorrect because a score of 5 or higher requires surgical intervention. A variety of surgical options exist for T12 burst fractures. Posterior decompression and arthrodesis may be considered one choice. To quickly review, the thoracolumbar injury classification system, or TLIX score, characterizes injury by morphology, for example, compression, burst, translation slash rotation, and distraction, posterior ligamentous injury, whether intact, indeterminate, or disrupted, and neurological injury, for example, intact, complete, incomplete, and cauda equina involvement. The TLIX scoring system helps to guide treatment options where scores of 5 or greater are recommended for surgery. Patel and Vaccaro reviewed thoracolumbar spine trauma classification systems. They state that anatomic structures of the posterior ligamentous complex include the supraspinous ligament, interspinous ligament, ligamentum flavum, and facet joint capsules. Disruption of the posterior ligamentous complex is typically indicated by widening of the interspinous space or of the facet joints, empty facet joints, facet perch or subluxation, and dislocation of the spine. MRI may reveal disruption of the ligamentous structures on T1 weighted imaging. Zdeblik et al. Reviewed the surgical treatment of thoracolumbar fractures. The optimal surgical approach, whether anterior, posterior, or combined, is suggested by the anatomical zone of injury, neurological compromise, or posterior ligamentous complex disruption requiring posterior tension band constructs, in other words, posterior stabilization. And moving on to the final question, a 23-year-old man is involved in a motor vehicle accident. An AP radiograph, axial, and sagittal CT scans show a thoracolumbar fracture dislocation. Neurologic examination shows 1 out of 5 strength of his quadriceps and iliopsoas on the right, with 1 out of 5 quadriceps function on the left. Definitive treatment of his injury should consist of, and the choices are 1, anterior corpectomy with inner body strut, 2, posterior fusion with instrumentation and posterior lateral decompression, 3, close reduction and a thoracolumbosacral orthosis, or TLSO. 4, anterior reduction and instrumentation. And 5, supine bed rest for 6 weeks followed by immobilization in a TLSO. The correct answer to this question is 2, posterior fusion with instrumentation and posterior lateral decompression. So the imaging studies show a fracture dislocation. Surgical treatment of this injury consists of a decompression reduction, stabilization, and fusion. A posterolateral decompression can also be performed as necessary. An isolated anterior procedure in this type of injury is contraindicated. The anterior longitudinal ligament is most likely intact, therefore an anterior procedure further destabilizes the spine. Reduction by an anterior approach would also be difficult. Non-surgical management of the neurologic injury in this patient is not indicated. That's all for this review about thoracolumbar fracture dislocation. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you aren't already, be sure to follow OrthoBullets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.